Welcome to Let's Talk Death, conversations to inform and inspire. Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a nonprofit providing the tools and resources to support one's journey with grief. We seek to empower individuals to achieve a healthy post-bereavement growth. Everything we do is inspired by our core belief that no one should ever grieve alone. Let's Talk Death is a series of conversations with some amazing people from various fields. Our goal through these conversations is to normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief. Hello, welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Death. I'm Fran Solomon.
And I'm Andy McNeil.
And we are thrilled to be your host for these conversations.
Our guest today is Teresa Anthony. Teresa is the author of two books and has a 25-year career as a freelance writer. In the mid-90s, Teresa began writing as an op-ed guest column contributor, sharing her musings on parenting, education, cultural issues, and much, much more. In 2019, Teresa changed genres and tackled a very personal and emotionally difficult project, culminating in the memoir, My 13th Station, the story of her son Matthew's battle with depression and alcoholism during the final years of his life. As painful as it was to reopen the wounds, she has found that writing an honest accounting of his struggle has benefited many people. Teresa is a devout Catholic and credits her strong faith for her resilience and optimism. In addition to her beloved son, she is blessed with two wonderful and accomplished daughters and four beautiful grandchildren. When not writing, she enjoys the outdoors, spending time with friends and family, Zumba classes, and creating Catholic-inspired artwork and jewelry for her Etsy shop, Soul Stirrings Gifts. So, Teresa, we are delighted to have you as a guest on our show.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course. So, Teresa, before we speak about your new book, Hope Springs from a Mother's Broken Heart, may I ask you to go back in time and share about your grief journey and what inspired you to reopen the wounds as you wrote My 13th Station?
Yes, Fran. Actually, when I first attempted to write that story about my son, it's a memoir, I think 2 years had passed since his death. He died by suicide. I really thought I was ready. I thought I could do this. I had been managing my life all right and was in a good place. And so I opened my laptop and pulled up a Word document, and I got all of, 200 words typed before I was just a blubbering mess, gave it up. There was no way I could go there. Yeah. Then 3 years after that, so at the five-year mark, I just knew, it was time to tackle this. I really wanted to present a very true and honest, authentic accounting of mental health issues and addiction, and to try to help inform other parents so that they could be maybe one step ahead of where I was. And during that writing of the book, as you said earlier, when you mentioned in my introduction, it was very painful to just pry those wounds open, go back into that time when there was just so much difficulty and suffering. It actually made me physically ill at certain points of the story. It was so hard. But it really ended up becoming a source of, I don't know, it was therapeutic in a weird way. It was cathartic. It helped me parse through a lot of residual trauma. You know, I'm kind of, you're left with PTSD. A lot of people who lose their children through a stigmatized death like suicide or overdose, you're really traumatized by the events. And I had to face them all and parse them out and put them in this book by detail. And it really helped me even more your grief there.
So that actually led me to one of my questions that I had, and that was, did you find writing healing? And clearly, it was a cathartic experience for you.
Absolutely. Going through it was not easy, but the end result was very edifying. I actually had set a date, a goal, to have the story written, the manuscript done, by his fifth memorial date, and by goodness, I was able to do that by one day, and I I went to his gravesite on, I always go on the memorial date, and I placed that manuscript. I mean, it was still bound, you know, print, just from getting it printed at the printer, but I put it on his grave and, you know, I wrote your story. I told your story. I was so proud of that accomplishment. And what I love about having done that book, not only what, how it's helped me in the grief process, but also the number of parents that have reached out to me over the 2 years, and they still, I still receive emails. So to me, it, you know, as hard as it was very therapeutic and has paid benefits in many ways.
Yeah, I was, you kind of took the words out of my mouth there. I was going to remark and say the parents who are watching this conversation right now are going to so identify with what you're talking about. And even your description of it, that it made you physically sick, just the grief. So there's such a misnomer in our society that grief is something happening in here, in our head. And it really is just, it's a very physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. It's all of those things. Yeah. It's all of those things. And it impacts us in all those ways. And when we do, and maybe confront's not the right word, but visit or revisit aspects of our grief in that story, it's hard and it's difficult and it is, it can make us sick and it can make us all those things. I've just heard so many people over the years say the same thing you're saying. It did all of those things, but it also was somehow therapeutic.
Yes. That kind of segues to the new book, because when I was, it was funny this year, I like having, you know, goal, I set goals and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my year. And it just popped into my head, okay, you need to write another book, but this one is going to focus on the grieving parent from a mother's point of view. And it was very intentional. The thought was so clear that this needed to happen, that we can, what I wanted to do was use the examples of the women I have met, the mothers that have lost their children that I have met in my journey through grief groups, and how inspiring they are, and use them to do amazing things, this amazing thing. So that was kind of my goal, was to not only provide some you know, insights and practical advice just from my own experience, but to showcase these ladies who have used various different tools, coping skills to manage the grief journey, but then to also do something fabulous with it. So for me, it was my writing. I was able to use my writing to articulate, you know, my own emotions and also help people in the addiction industry. I write for them primarily now. But for many of these mothers, you will just be blown away reading the things they've done in honor of their child. It's amazing.
And I just want to make sure we get the name of that book in here a few times. And it's called Hope Springs from a Mother's Broken Heart. And that's the second book that you're referring about.
Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a 501c3. As a nonprofit, we are reliant on the kind generosity of our donors. If you are inspired by our mission, we ask you to go to healgrief.org/donations to help us continue our great work. No gift is too small.
What is your goal with this book?
Oh, boy. I wanted... This is my goal. When I decided to write the book, I have managed somehow in my, it's almost 8 years now in my journey, I have managed to survive this. And you don't think you will. When your child dies, you really feel like you don't want to live and you can't live through it. It's that horrible. But I wanted to show a grieving mother, especially a mother in the first year or two of grief, that even though you feel like you won't live through it, you can live through it. And to me, that was what I wanted to do with this book, was to provide kind of a, like, that's why I named it what I did, that from the depths of this grief, this horrible situation, having lost a child, it's amazing what you can still do, what you can still you still have life to live. And I wanted the mother reading it to know that. Oh my gosh, look at these ladies. Look at what this lady makes documentaries. And this one started a foundation for children with cancer. And I wanted them to see that there is hope, that there's still life. There's still life to live.
Yeah, what a wonderful gift to give to, well, parents, moms, but to give to parents who are grieving. Because again, as you know, when you're in the midst of it, that sense of hope is
non-existent.
Right. It's just that's the word. It's just non-existent. I do have a question about, you know, you mentioned that your son died by suicide, and I am curious if you have any people who connect with you around that particularly. You mentioned the stigma that surrounds a suicide death, and we all know that, you know, that exists. I do a lot of work with American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and on their bereavement side, and we just see it so often, families that are just the stigma in our society that's associated and the complete misunderstanding. And I just wonder what your experience has been there, and if you've made those kind of connections as well.
It is, I mentioned this in the book, by the way, that a lot of people are so uncomfortable with it, the way my son died, that they almost avoid talking about him. And that's really sad. So I make a point of bringing him up because he lived a life. It wasn't how he died. He had a 25-year life that was so beautiful. So I try to keep his name present to try to make people comfortable. It's okay to talk about my boy, even the way he died. But I wanted to mention that I belong to a Facebook group. It's Parents of Suicide Loss of a Child. It's a support group. And I have got to tell you, it is alarming the number of new parents joining that group every single day. I write a blog for my website. I just wrote one a day or two ago about this, addressing this, that I am... It is seriously shocking to see every day, oh, welcome Mary, Sue, and Henry. They've lost their child. Welcome them here. But every day, multiple times a day, you're seeing these parents joining this group. So it's right now the second leading cause of preventable death among the youth, the young people up to age 24. Yeah. And I mean, it's just frightening, really. How many young, some of these are children that are parents are children of 7-year-olds and 12-year-olds that have taken their life. As far as the stigma and dealing with that, I've just been open with people. I'm not, I won't buy into it. You know, yes, it's a horrible thing what happened and my son and the whole conflagration of a loss of hope and despair that left him writing a note to us saying we were all better off without him. You know, it's just so tragic. So to me, it's like, yeah, I could avoid it and not deal with this big, ugly elephant in the room about the history in my family now, but I've chosen not to do that because I think the only way you're going to break down those barriers and get people talking with their kids and more proactive if they see signs, instead of ignoring them, to go for it and ask their child, do you need anything? Is everything okay? You know, where are you at right now?
Yeah. Teresa, clearly Andy lost connection and we're sorry for that. So I will take the lead. And we only have a few minutes left, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to share with our audience how they might be able to connect with you or your work or find your books.
Okay, thank you so much, Fran. So if anybody is interested in this book, it can be found at Amazon, of course, and Barnes & Noble. I am on all the social media platforms. Mostly, I'm most active on Facebook under Teresa Anthony, author, and that is the same call tag or whatever on Twitter and Instagram. So that's all available, by the way, in the back of the book if anybody wants to join in my little journey, you know, in real time. But I want your listeners to know that the women who contributed chapters of their own personal loss of a child to my book they will fall in love with these women. They will be able to relate to one of these women. They're all unique, all different personalities, all different types of losses as far as the cause of death among the children. And I love that they each have their own take on coping tools and what got them through it, and then how they've used their love for their child to do something really phenomenal in their child's memory. The book is very rich. It's soulful. It's you don't just breeze through this book. You digest this book in small chunks and process it. But it really will help any family member who just wants a better insight into what a mother might be feeling after losing her child. It is a very unique journey. So the husband or even adult children of the mother would very much also benefit from reading these firsthand accounts of the grief journey of a mother.
Yeah, and also you touched on a very good point. You know, parents, I mean, there's men too. There's a very different way biologically that we express our grief. Mm-hmm. And for men, often they hold it in and express it silently. Mm-hmm. For women, they're more open. And that in itself, mm-hmm, can create further grief on a connection that a man and woman, a husband and wife might have, mm-hmm, in their relationship. So there's so many compounding elements to the grief one experiences after the death of a child. And we know that that goes against the cycle of life.
Exactly. And you touched on something between how this impacts the mother versus the father and how that can affect their relationship. A few of the moms do bring that up. So they discuss, they get specific about how their husband dealt with it differently and how this kind of caused some turmoil in the marriage. And that's all very valuable to the reader too. It just helps you. My book, I think, you know, other than offering hope, my book validates what you're going through. In other words, it is normalizing the god-awful emotional turmoil that you're going through. And helping people to know, this is my journey. It is unique to me. And I own this. This experience is mine to go through at my own time, my own pace. So I just love that the feedback that I'm getting is just, wow, you know, this is exactly what I needed at this time to be validated.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And Andy, thank you for joining back with us. We assumed you had an internet issue. Teresa already shared where she can be found for our audience wanting to follow her and find her work. And we can go right into the closing. And I'm going to say, Teresa, we want to thank you so much for being our guest here on Let's Talk Death and for sharing your journey and your inspiration and courage for writing your book and your second book to bring hope to grieving parents. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
If you would like to learn more about Heal Grief, visit us at healgrief.org to find other conversations or to inquire about becoming a guest speaker. Visit us at healgrief.org/letstalkdeath. And if you feel inspired to support us, remember, no gift is too small. Visit us at healgrief.org/donations, or you can donate right through our homepage. Well, that's it until next time on Let's Talk Death, where we normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief.